Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to invite you to come closer and fill up these front rows so that you can participate in the artwork, watching, and also painting if you are led to do so, that will be going on throughout this whole chapel. This is the first of two spiritual renewal chapels, and Friday we will be continuing the theme of God's love. Just a note that all of your professors are aware that this is a 40-minute chapel, so they are expecting that class will begin at 10:50 today. Grounded in love is the theme for this year, and I invite you to listen to the theme passage from Ephesians 3:14-21 and notice what it has to say about God's love. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God's love is complex. It isn't just a simple thing to explain or comprehend. So today we invite you to join us on a short journey through the Bible, where we share a few stories and songs that show God's love and help us to understand some of the complexities of it. As we enter into this journey together to understand more fully God's love, we invite you to participate with us. How do you understand God's love? Throughout the service, there will be a variety of people painting in an abstract sort of way, trying to show God's love, sometimes in response to what is shared on stage, and sometimes from a more personal response to God's love. If you are drawn to do so, please join in the painting. The Alpha Omega Dancers for Christ will help us begin the biblical story through interpretive movement to the creation poem by James Weldon Johnson. And Perry Glosser will lead us in song as we move between the stories of Jeremiah, told by Brian Martin Burkholder, and the story of the woman at the well, told by Annalee Martin.
Then God stepped out on space, and he looked around and he said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." Now, as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke. The darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." Then God reached out, and he took the light in his hands. And he rolled the light around in his hands until he'd made the sun. And he set that sun a-blazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and the stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world. And God said, "That's good." Then God stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So he stepped over to the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes on the lightning flash. He cracked his hands and the thunder roared. And the waters above the earth came down. Pouring waters came down. God walked. And where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then the green grass spread. The little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed its finger to the sky. The oak spread out its arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again when a rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulders. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, "Bring forth! Bring forth!" And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes, fowl, beasts, birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, split the air with their wings, and God said, "Yes! Yes, that is God." and God walked around. And he looked around at all that he had made. He looked at the sun. He looked at his little moon. He looked at the stars. He looked at the world with all his living things. And he said, but I'm still lonely. So God went down by the river where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he knelt down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought until he thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he knelt down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand. This great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, until he shaped it in his own image. And then into it, he blew the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen.
Number 163 in the Blue Book. We'll sing through twice.
My name is Jeremiah, and I was a prophet. And what compelled me to preach was the pain of God at what had become of the people. Nobody invited me to their parties. There was no silver lining in my dark clouds. I could not find it in me to say with my later colleague Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort my people." All I could do was lament. Now, lament is a good word. Maybe you felt it in your own bones, even you religious people. So many people come to the holy places with a smile that proves God loves them. But inside, there's so much going on. Do you ever feel like that? Feel like your heart is so broken you can do little else but weep? Weep for the people killed in a tragic accident. Lament for those people who have been taken from them. raising your hands in despair over images of starving people that continue to haunt your dreams. Well, let me tell you about lament. Well, then maybe you can tell me about your laments. Because I think, I know, that the smile you sometimes feel you have to wear, underneath there is pain. Pain that doesn't easily go away. My people are Jews, people of the covenant, people chosen by God. Well, not chosen because they were especially special, chosen because they were nobodies, wanderers in the desert, nomads with no land, no power, no identity other than that they could say for hundreds of years they had survived. Well, God came to visit our ancestor Abraham, came in the form of two visitors, and Abraham and Sarah gave them all kinds of hospitality that was their due in the customs of the day. And because of the family's kindness, God returned the favor. Go out tonight, old man, and you, old woman, look at the stars and start counting them. And when you run out of fingers and toes, start counting again, and you'll find that you cannot begin to count the blessings that I will give you. See the number of stars? That's how many descendants you will have. Oh, you say you're in your 90s. Doesn't matter a bit. Go ahead and laugh, Sarah. I hear you snickering there behind the curtain. Children? Yes, I'll give you children. Generations of them. And I'll give you land of your own, too. This is your vision. But you must make a promise that through you and your descendants, the earth will be blessed. You must give to others the kindness I've shown you. You, through the way you live and the things you do, will show not only what kind of people you are, but what kind of God I am. So be just, be kind, be merciful. Let there be hospitality to strangers. Let there be no one who goes hungry, and then you will be a blessing, and I'll be happy. What went wrong, you ask? I cannot begin to tell the whole story. It's far too long and complicated. But Abraham and Sarah got the land, and then some of their descendants became slaves, and then God came again, delivered the people from slavery, and once more they got the land. But things went wrong, very wrong. The people settled into their ways, and they began to forget the God who had called and delivered them, and they turned away from God. And the people who were responsible for keeping the memory of God alive became more interested in little religious rituals than in seeking justice for all. Oh, they were more concerned about how long to wear their robes than about the vision of God. And the people became just like everybody else around them. Instead of being models for what the people of God were to live like, they played the same games of power, status, as their neighbors. And they would go to the places of worship on a holy day and recite these nice words about loyalty to God and being a holy people. And then they would turn around and mistreat their workers. The ones who had no one to care for them were treated like dogs begging for scraps. Suffering was everywhere. The poor got poorer, the rich got richer. And God despaired of what had become of the people, and God called me to speak out, to be God's voice. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Of that my head were a spring of water, Oh, my eyes of a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. As God spoke through me to the people, I began to feel even just a little how God must feel. I think God felt betrayed by those who were once beloved. I think God felt enraged that some were fat and indifferent while others were hungry on the streets. If only God could do it, floods of tears would be shed, rolling down the sides of a fountain. This is a God who loved a people, who wanted to be them to be a new kind of community, yeah. To model a different way of living. God wanted the stranger to feel that they would be welcome. Wanted the sick to find healing and hope. Wanted the homeless to be cared for and invited in. Well, I think that the wounds God felt are like those that people who are wounded. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. And the thing I have to say to you is this. It doesn't have to be that way. There's no reason for God's people to be alone, abandoned, fearful, hungry. There's no reason for people to feel there is no God, to feel that God doesn't love them. Oh yes, God loves his people, even when they don't reciprocate that love.
Number 34 in the Green Book. Take a quick glance at the words as Andrew plays through once, and then we'll sing 1 through 4.
Come with me to the well, to the water, where my story began. Well, no, where my new story started. I have come back to this well again, to this place where I found water, to this place where a stranger found me and gave me freedom, to this place where I found myself. I come back to remind myself of my story. This is Jacob's well. I am connected to my ancestors here, to Jacob and his descendants centuries before my time. And so this well is mine also. If Jacob's water is mine, so is his story. I'm a Samaritan and Jacob was a Jew. We share the same ancestry, the same faith, but there have been tensions between Jews and Samaritans for hundreds of years, since the division of the kingdom into Israel and Judah. My people are descendants of a mixed population. The more righteous Jews have long accused us of consorting with false gods, of being corrupt spiritually. The truth is, we worship the same God as they do. In spite of the rejection of being outsiders, we still held fast to the promise of a Messiah. Is that not how all people who are cast aside feel? Is that not what those who feel oppressed want? A liberator? Someone who will give them dignity and justice and a fair chance. But enough of the history of the Samaritans and the Jews. I will tell you my story now. I live in Sychar, just a couple miles down that way. It's a nondescript little town, and I'm a woman of no standing, just a survivor. I'm not proud of how my life has turned out. It's not the way I exactly hoped it would. My mother raised me alone after my father walked out on us. One day, he just up and left and never came back. That was my first rejection, and it hurt like no other. My mother became a laborer, cleaning other people's houses, cooking for other families while we had little at home to eat. And at times when no work could be found, she would beg in the streets, enduring the ridicule of our community. But my mother was a proud woman, a woman of deep faith. She taught me to pray and never be ashamed of my race or of being a woman. She never let the oppression she must have felt kill her self-respect or her hope. And what did my mother hope for? Well, probably what all mothers hope for, I suppose. That thing that would work out for her and for me, that something good would come. Did she hope, like so many others, for Messiah? If she did, I never heard her say so. It was enough, perhaps, to believe in the God of today and a modest tomorrow. Leave the bigger dreams to the prophets and the poets and the priests. We would survive. When I was a teenager, I got involved with a man, and I should have listened to my mother's warnings, but love, if it even was love, it's a strange thing. It draws you in, it blurs your vision. I got pregnant, we got married, and the baby didn't come to term. So I was left with an emptiness inside that I won't even try to describe, and my husband was left with a barren woman and a rage that he would not contain. He was mocked by his friends. "You are not a man," they said, "not a real man." He would not stand up to them, the coward. Instead, he took it out on me, coming home drunk with fury, accusing me of sleeping around, blaming himself, blaming me, hitting me again and again. So I left him finally, moved in with my mother, worked with her, until she got sick and we needed more security. What else can a woman do in society that will not respect her or pay her a decent wage but to get married again? So unlucky once, unlucky twice. My second husband, a merchant, had money, that's true, and for a while it was all right. He provided for us and made sure my mother was cared for. But after a couple of years, he started to travel more and more, often for weeks and months at a time. No money would come home, and neither would he. Eventually, my deepest suspicions came true. He had had another woman, and with her, the child I could never have. So we were not out of poverty. My mother was not getting any better, and I was no longer considered young. So I went to work for a family. As a housekeeper, the uncle of the family took a fancy to me, and though he was much older than I and never had married, he was a kind man. I could see that in his eyes. He would provide for me and my mother. I knew that. So I agreed to marry again, and the marriage lasted 5 years. At the end, I was caring for both him and my mother. They both died within a few months of each other. So I was left, alone and lonely. A woman with no children, no family. And in my loneliness, I sought other company, fool that I was. Somehow, I could never find peace with myself. I married again, another abuser. And now I'm living with another. We're not married, but I want it that way. I don't want to be committed to another. Or do I? Because I wonder about that. A few days ago, I met a man like no other. Here, at Jacob's Well. It was hot and dry and dusty, and I had come to draw water. I saw him sitting in the shade. When he saw me, he asked me for a drink. I could tell right away that he was a Jew. I asked him, How is it you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan? Could he not tell what I was? His answer puzzled me more than his request. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So we talked more. Strange conversation. And then he said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up in eternal life. And then he asked me to go get my husband. I gasped, what should I say? I told him half the truth, I have no husband. He said, it's true you have no husband, you've had 5 husbands, and the one who you are with now is not your husband. My jaw dropped, felt a little guilty. What stranger could possibly know such things? Sir, I see you are a prophet, and he didn't deny it. But we got further into conversation. About God's holy mountain, about worshiping God in spirit and truth, about the Messiah. All the memories I had of our priests talking about the Messiah came flooding back. All my people's aspirations for justice and acceptance. And suddenly it was like I could touch them. They were not a dream of quiet children at bedtime, and there weren't a rallying cry for the masses to take up arms. Hope in the Messiah was right there. Talking to me. And this man who had seen right into my soul was speaking of the truth in a way I had never heard it before. I know the Messiah is coming, I uttered. And the stranger looked me calmly in the eyes and he said, I am he. I ran home, leaving my water jug behind. I didn't fully know what had happened. I only knew that I had been touched by this man in a way that no man had ever touched me. Deep in my soul. He had spoken to me with respect. He had broken down the thick wall between our races and our genders. He had risked public humiliation in order to speak to me in a public place, to speak to me at all. And it happened here, at Jacob's Well, where the waters of our human history merge with the waters of God's salvation. I know I will come back here again, for this, to me, has become a holy place. But you do not need to come here to find the water of life. You need only to talk with the one who sees into your soul and who sets you free to be a child of God.
Clay.
We have seen, heard, and felt God's love today through story, song, painting, and dance. As all of creation is given life, we have also been given life, and we are created for relationship with God. May we go into this day knowing the love of God and being grounded in it so that we can share it with others. The Alpha Omega dancers will come with one final song as ascending into our day. As they dance, I would invite you to look at the painting as well. Notice the characteristics of God's love.
Your love is deep.